Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
That's how I feel right now. Are you guys good? It is so good to see you. If you haven't met me yet, if I haven't met you, I'm Roma. I'm part of Pneuma East. My husband and two kids are here. My daughter was co-leading worship this morning, Angel. She's probably out having a coffee. And my husband would be here, but we've just come back from Bali and he's got Bali belly. Everyone say, oh, it's not very good. But anyway, he's home and sick, the poor boy. But I am here and excited to be here to talk about one of my favourite things. So we have a series this month on all things prophetic, which is my favourite topic. And I want to share on that today. But before I do it, can I share a joke with you? Because it was funny. So I had to share it. And it's around prophets. I've probably ruined the joke now. If atheism was a business, what kind of business would it be? A non-profit organisation. Ka-ching. Good dad joke there. All right, enough of jokes. Let me talk to you today. I want to talk about seven principles in building prophetic community. And one of the things the Lord said to me at the beginning of the year, I run an online prophetic training school called Heartsong Prophetic Alliance. And one of the things, every year I pray and I say, Lord, you know, what do you want to say about raising up prophetic voices in the nations? And he said, Roma, I want you to know that this is not about raising prophets. It's about building prophetic community. And I think that's the New Testament model, is that the Holy Spirit lives in all of us and you have a portion of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that if you allow the Lord to use you, you can release his prophetic voice to the world around you. Now, that doesn't mean there's no such thing as prophets. Ephesians 4, this is a whole other subject we can't talk about today. We don't have time, but there is what we call an office of the prophet. In Ephesians 4, we hear about the fivefold: pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, apostles. There is an actual office of a prophet. But that doesn't mean that we dismiss the prophetic voice, the spirit of prophecy. I've heard so many people say to me, oh, I'm not a prophet. I could never speak on behalf of the Lord. But actually, it's not scriptural. Revelation 19:10 says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Put your hand up if you have a testimony of Jesus today. It'll probably be 95% of you here. If you have a story where the Lord has changed you, he's brought you out of darkness into the kingdom of light, the spirit of prophecy is on the inside of you. Amen? And it just takes a little bit of courage, a little bit of learning, a little bit of knowing Jesus daily, where we can begin to release his voice in a powerful way. And so I want to share with you today seven principles that I believe build prophetic community, and I can't wait to hear what the Lord is saying through you. You know, in the first service, I've got to share this because Adele gave me a prophetic word. Can I share it, Adele? Because it's so cool. So we talked about how everyone can prophesy, and at the end, everyone started prophesying over each other, which was super fun. And she came up to me. I said, have you got a word for me? She goes, it's so weird. I don't know, but I keep hearing the word Greek yogurt. And then she started to tell me what she thought it was meant, what it meant, right? And it was awesome. But the thing that she didn't know was that I've been thinking about, my husband and I are about to start the carnivore diet. Don't judge, all right? Is anyone doing the carnivore diet? Anyone? I'm the only one. All right, that makes me feel great. You are? You're doing it? Good, half and half? It's going to be hard. I've got a friend who's doing it who's like, it's changed my life. Basically, you eat a lot of meat, but it helps with lots of health issues, right? Don't judge me. Don't get stuck on carnivore, right, in this message. But there's different versions of the carnivore diet, right? And I'm like, you can just only eat meat for a certain period of time, or you can do a carnivore diet that like incorporates a little bit of dairy. So this morning I was like, Lord, like, should I include like Greek yogurt, stuff like that? How cool is that? God cares about dairy, right? He actually cares about the little things. And so I was so thankful that she didn't go, nah, that was dumb. Have you ever done that? I can't say that. It makes no sense. I'm not going to share it. Well, I want to say it's better to step out and be wrong than never step out and be right. It could literally change somebody's life. And I've seen this more than once where the Lord has totally came in and gone into somebody's life from a word that somebody just felt was on their heart to share. So I want to share with you my seven principles. I'm going to try and get through them quickly because I would love you to have a bit of a practice of doing this. Don't be scared. It's going to be fun. So get your pen and paper out, your iPhone. God forbid you have an Android, but if you do, you can use it. No, just kidding. Number one, here we go. Not everyone is a prophet, but all believers can prophesy. Not everyone is a prophet, but all believers can prophesy. Now, we've talked about why Revelation 19:10, we've talked about the difference between the office of a prophet or the call of a prophet and the gift. But I want to encourage you, whether you feel you have that call of a prophet or not, you have a prophetic voice that the Lord wants you to release. And this is the way that I kind of think about it. You know, when we think of Ephesians 4, where it talks about the fivefold that I just mentioned, you know, a lot of people might say, well, I'm not a pastor, or I'm not a teacher, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a prophet. But think of it like this. You might not be a pastor, but do you know how to care for people around you? You probably do. You might not be an evangelist, but do you love sharing Jesus with people when they ask? You might not be employed as a teacher full time, but I'm sure you know how to teach your kids or people around you how to do something. It's the same with prophecy. It's not just reserved for a select few. Every person can release the voice of the Father if they're hearing him. So let's take the focus off the thing and put our focus on Jesus. If we know Jesus, if we know his heart, we're going to hear his voice. And it kind of made me do a sideways when Chris actually showed the picture of the Leonardo da Vinci painting of the Last Supper. Because I'm a bit of an art buff. I love studying art. And something really incredible about that painting is that you see the hand of Jesus. If you go back and have a look at it, don't Google it in the message, right? But when you have a look at it, it looks like he's trying to hold something. And there's a story where Leonardo da Vinci actually showed his painting to a friend of his. And originally that painting had Jesus holding a beautiful chalice in his hand. Some say it was the Holy Grail. And he said to his friend, "What do you think of my painting?" And this friend straight away just said, "Oh my goodness, that chalice is absolutely stunning. That is the most beautiful glass that the wine is being held in. I can't take my eyes off it." And without saying anything, Leonardo da Vinci goes and he paints over the glass, the chalice. And the friend says, "Why did you do that?" And he said, "If anything takes away from Jesus, I don't want it in the painting." Isn't that beautiful? So when you go back and look, you'll see that there's a hand, looks like it's going to hold something, but there's nothing in it. And I feel the same with the prophetic. When we just focus on the prophet or the one person on a platform who seems to have the voice of the Lord and we're not focusing on Jesus, we've lost it. And this is why prophetic community is so powerful, because it takes our eyes off the person and it makes it about the voice of Jesus. And I want to see us as a community. I would love if all the other new locations were like, I tell you what, at East, all they do is prophesy. You're having a coffee out there and someone's going, hey, the Lord's saying this and the Lord's saying that. Just, it might even be about Greek yogurt. And if it is, I know that it'll be the Lord. Before I got up to preach on the first service, Simon Abdemalek actually came up and he said something to me that spoke right into what I was thinking about at that moment. And I love that, that you don't have to have the label prophet to be able to speak his words and speak his voice. So, not everyone is a prophet, but all believers can prophesy. This is also in the scriptures, Joel 2, verses 28 to 29. I will pour out my spirit on just the prophets. No, it doesn't say that. It says on all flesh, your sons and daughters will prophesy. That's pretty cool. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour my spirit out in those days. Prophecy isn't just for prophets. Give everyone a go. You have a go. We need your voice. The key is hearing his voice and knowing him. Number two. Keep your eyes open. In Hebrews 10, verse 24, it says, let us consider how we might spur one another on towards love and good deeds. What has that got to do with keeping your eyes open? I want to encourage you, don't just think of your own destiny or your own life or what God's doing just on the inside of you, but look out into the world around you and see what God is wanting to do in other people. This is how we spur each other on. And I actually believe this culture where we spend a lot of time finding out what our destiny is and what's my purpose in life, all those things are good, right? So don't throw that out. But I feel like in some ways we've idolized destiny. We've idolized having a purpose. We've lost the focus, which is adoring Jesus and serving others. I actually feel like, you know, sometimes I say this to myself, people that are really lost in life, because this is my personal story, just send them to a third world country to go and serve for a couple of months and it changes everything on the inside of you. When we think of serving others, God does something beautiful in our own lives. He opens up, his voice opens up on the inside of us. And so it's the Jesus way, isn't it? To serve other people. Let's not just think about our own gift, but let's look out for others. Let's draw it out of other people. This is why I love the prophetic. I love prophetic community. When someone's talking to me and sharing something about their lives, honestly, this is how my brain works. I'm sitting there going, Lord, what are you saying beneath these words? What can I say that can help this person? God, what is there in me that could bless this person? I don't always get it right, but I find that living like that is such a joy and it takes the focus off yourself. I love, for example, going into shopping centres and, you know, I'll go to try clothes on and I think today I'm going to say something to somebody who's trying on something. I'm going to tell them that colour looks good on them or I'm going to encourage them in some way. You know, whenever I've done that, it has opened up so much conversation because you don't even realise that your words are thick with the presence of the Lord, even when you're not talking about Jesus. Because it's coming from your spirit. It's coming from the inside of you where the Holy Spirit lives. So all of your words and all of your voice is being laced with the fragrance of heaven. And as we do that, the prophetic just, if we let it, the prophetic will just spill out of you in such a beautiful way. So keep your eyes open. See in other people something even before they see it in themselves. It's a beautiful way to live. So keep your eyes open. Number three, to build prophetic community, we must take a risk. Now, I'm not going to share the whole scripture here, but Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. You might know this story, but it's about the parable of the five talents where the master gives everybody a talent and says, do something with it. One of them buries it in the ground. each one of them does something that brings a certain return back. And I love this story because those who took a risk in this story saw a greater reward than themselves. And it's the same with the prophetic. The risk taker will see multiplication. I promise you. There's been times when I have been so nervous to release a prophetic word, especially in my early years when I was first starting out. And I thought, this is going to be horrible. I don't know how it's going to go. But the more I've done it, the more it has grown and it has expanded. Let me share with you one of the first times I ever stepped out in the prophetic. It was about 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago now, actually. And I'd been in a meeting. I know I look 21, so thank you for thinking that. But I'd been in a church meeting and someone had called me up. And at that time, I was a worship pastor. And I'm like, I just want all the words of your songs are going to be sung all around the world. No one's actually ever given me that as a prophetic word, right? I get all the prophet words. You're going to be a prophet. You have a prophetic voice. And I'm like, I don't want those words. Nobody likes the prophets. I want to be like an awesome worship. Everyone likes worship. And this guy was like, no, you're called to be a prophet. There's a voice that's coming out of you. And I'm like, okay, all right. Anyway, I was mulling on what he'd said. And it was exciting, the thought that God was going to use me in some way. And it was before we had kids. And Ted and I, my hubby, we were driving to the takeaway place to get the Thai food after the service. This is before Uber let the food come to your house and your door and you're already in your pajamas. None of that. We had to actually go to the place and we ordered the food. And he was waiting in the car. I was sitting at the door waiting for the food. And I'm thinking about what this prophet had prophesied over me, thinking, wow, this is awesome, God. I pray that you'll just use me and it will just bless people. And he starts to say, look around the room and just start to think about people. I'm going to tell you some things about people in the room. Let's just practice. I'm like, all right. And so he starts talking to me about people in the room and I'm like, wow, wow, wow. And he shows me this person that's sitting at the door and she's talking to somebody else over the table and he says, that person works around a lot of death and destruction. She's seen a lot of people die and it's been really discouraging to her, but I just want her to know that I've made her the healer. I've put healing in her hands and that the work that she's doing has made such an impact in people's lives. I wanted to know that. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And then he goes, yeah, I actually want you to go up and say that to her. And I was like, no way am I doing that. This is the Thai restaurant I come to every week. I do not want to do this. This is embarrassing. And then that thing happened. You know, have you ever had this where the Lord tells you something and your heart starts to race and your hands start to sweat? And so this is where the door is to go out, right? Their table is just here and I'm sitting here and I'm like, I am not doing it. No, no, no. And this is how it played out, right? I'm going to act it out, right? I go like this. I go, pick up the stuff to go and I go, nup, 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 hi. I have no idea why that happened the way it did, but that's how it happened. And I look at her and this lady looks up at me and goes, yes. And then I, dripping with prophetic knowledge and anointing, I go, so I see things. That's what I said. I can't even believe to this day I said that. It's like, I see dead people. That's what I think of, that movie, right? So I go, so I see things. And I'm clunky and I'm feeling embarrassed. And she goes, okay. And I start to share what I felt the Lord was saying. And I wish I could tell you that the story ended with her weeping and repenting and giving her life to Jesus. But her response was this, okay, thank you. And she turned around and she just kept talking. She probably thought I was an absolute nutcase, right? So I walk out of there going, that was so embarrassing. I get in the car and I say to my husband, just drive. And he goes, what happened? And I told him what happened, right? And he goes, you are so weird. Why did you do that? We have to go back there all the time. I'm like, I know. I'm so embarrassed. Anyway, for years, I thought about that. And I was like, Lord, I really felt like that was you. And, you know, for years I kind of just worked out in my brain, maybe it was practice, maybe the Lord wanted to see if I would do what he asked. But let me tell you what happened a few years ago. So we're talking 20 years later. My daughter Angel, she was at high school. She'd cut her hand on a barbed wire fence and I had to take her to get a tetanus shot at the doctor's. So I walk in and guess who the doctor is? It's this lady. And you should have seen my face, right? Firstly, I know you all probably think I'm really spiritual, but the first thought that went in my mind was, I hope this lady does not recognise me. It's the honest truth. And I don't think she did. I just came in and went, hi. And I'm like this the whole time while she's going doing all the doctory stuff. And I could literally hear the Lord laughing his head off for about the whole 20-minute service, just going, I've been waiting 20 years for this. I am so excited. I wanted you to see it. And I'm telling you, it was the biggest lesson that if you take a risk, even when it doesn't make sense, the Lord might just be in it. It's better just to give it a go. Your word, your voice, your heart could impact somebody else's life. Here's an example. I want to call Kath up because we really want to encourage you that we break this model, this idea that happens in church life where the prophet's on the pulpit and that's the prophet. It's not the way it is. Building prophetic community, hearing the voice of Jesus. Of course prophets are needed. I'm not saying that's not the way it is, but it's literally 1%. Of how the prophetic should operate. And so I wanted Kath to come up and just share what's happening in Kids Church today.
Yes. Today, it's really exciting. And like you were saying, you know, it's about risk and practice. Like, so with the kids, we've been practicing. So this prompted us to reflect on what we learned last year about prophecy. So we went through a little sheet on a couple of Bible verses, talk about pursuing the spiritual gifts and most of all prophecy, and the prophecies for strengthening and encouraging and comfort. And in the kids, we say the ABCDs of prophecy to always build up, cheer up, draw near. So when you're prophesying, it's you know, coming under those things. So with the kids, we invited them. It wasn't no pressure. It was totally of their free will. They could stay and watch the movie or they could come out into the foyer with myself and a couple of other leaders, and we just had some soaking worship music on. You can do this at home with your kids. And I just asked them, we're going to invite Jesus to speak to us. And we asked him first to give the kids a colour. So they wrote down their colour, and then we asked Jesus to give them a picture or a word or a few words. And when we did it earlier this morning, we had some of the younger ones explain that they had a butterfly in their mind. And so we discussed it together. There it is. Beautiful. And she was so little, and often the younger ones see pictures rather than the words. And we prayed with the leaders. We said, God, what do you want to speak to the person about the butterfly? What does that mean? And so we discussed together what God was saying to each of us, new life, new seasons, you know, and other things that the butterfly means that the person might get when they find that on their car. Another little boy had Jaguar, and so we all prayed and asked God, what does that mean? And we all got words, battle, protector. So God is your protector. He's going to fight your battles. God is fierce like the Jaguar. And these kids are five. Like, you know, so some of the older kids got more of a sort of a sentence, and, you know, we prayed about it. At the service just now, we looked up scriptures on some words that they had. So some of them had, you know, a couple of words, and we said, well, what does God say about that in the Bible? One of them was, you know, looking after nature. So we looked up that in the Bible. And then we went outside and we asked God to show us which cars to put these words on. So you might have one on your car. There wasn't too many at this service, but to in order for the kids to practice and to bless our beautiful church community. So here we go.
So is there any on the cars now? That's very cool. So there's, if you go out and there's a prophetic word on your car, it's from the kids. How cool is that? I love it. All right, let's keep going because we're running out of time here. Number four, we don't make people jump through hoops. We just don't do that in prophetic community. So I'm not going to go, you have to look like this, you have to say, speak like this, you have to do this, this and this. That's not the way prophetic community works. Galatians 5, verses 13 to 14. Serve one another humbly in love. Serve one another humbly in love. Now, this doesn't mean that there's not protocols. Obviously, there has to be systems in place when things grow, doesn't there? Like, you know, when we were emerging as prophetic worshippers in the previous church I was in, when we started, I was leading a worship team. I was the only one singing prophetically out. Well, by the end of a two-year period, we'd fostered this prophetic worship style in a way where everybody was singing prophetically, and it was awesome. Like, I loved it. But the honest truth was it was really messy too, because everyone was like, well, how do you know to release a prophetic word? And so we had to develop some sort of protocol as we went along. But protocols are important, but they're not helpful when there's no friendship or relationship involved. And I'm sure you've been a part of churches like that, communities like that, where it's all protocol and no relationship. And it's horrible, isn't it? But when there's relationship, it's like it births something as you're journeying together. And that's what we want to see as we build prophetic community. We're all learning. So someone might have an idea, I want to hear it. And we go, yeah, that's good, or no, that's not great. But we don't go, let's not just put you through the hoops. That's not how we do church. So I want to tell you today, you don't need to jump through hoops at Pneuma. You do not need to. We care about you as people, and we're establishing a culture of prophetic expression that's rooted in relationship and journeying in life together. Amen. All right, number five, which is my favourite, be divergent, not convergent. Be divergent, not convergent. What does that mean? Maybe you're like me. I love the fantasy fiction movies and you've seen Divergence. I love that, those movies. But this is what it means. Convergent thinking focuses on finding one well-defined solution to a problem, but divergent thinking is the opposite, where there's lots of creativity. There's more than one way to skin a cat is the best way to explain it. And the Bible even talks about this. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 6. There are many different kinds of gifts, but it's the same Spirit who distributes them. What I'm trying to say is there's more than one way to express the prophetic. And we welcome that here. You know, I remember actually having a conversation with Leah last year, and we were talking about the way the prophetic manifests in different worship leaders. And there's things about the way Leah leads worship that I'm not good at all, and vice versa. But we need each other. Does that mean I'm more or less prophetic than Leah? No. It's a different expression. And when we become divergent, not convergent, we embrace that in other people. And it's beautiful. It is beautiful. For some of you, the prophetic might look like cooking. You're like, I just feel to make this food for this person, and there's this intentionality about why you made a certain dish, and you give it to them and you've prayed over it. You've given them that as a gift. Some of you are gift givers. You just love to buy certain jewelry or clothes for people, and you, in your mind, you haven't even realized this. You're like, I'm going to get that for that person, because when I think of them wearing these earrings or scarves or tops, I think of this about them. That's prophetic. It doesn't have to all look like, hi, I'm up here, I'm giving a prophetic word. I would be so sad if that's the only prophetic expression that we had have here. So let's be divergent and not convergent. Some people, some of you, you've dismissed the prophetic call on your life because you're like, I'm not a platform person. I could never be on a stage. Do you know what? That's okay. Not every prophet needs a platform. In fact, if I digress for a moment, if we use Jesus as our prophetic model, the greatest prophet ever, if you think about the way that he prophesied in the Gospels, 90% of his prophetic words were in small groups. It wasn't on a platform. It wasn't in the temple. It was in a small group of people. So I want to encourage you, divergence is powerful and it is how we build prophetic community. Number six, making time. Make time. I love the writings of Paul, and Thessalonians is one of his earliest letters that he wrote. And this is what he wrote, and I'm going to use the Message translation because it's beautiful. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 8. Even though we had some standing as Christ's apostles, we never threw our weight around or tried to come across as important with you or anyone else. We weren't standoffish with you. We took you just as you were. We were never patronizing, never condescending. We cared for you the way a mother cares for her children. We loved you dearly, not content to just pass on a message. We wanted to give you our hearts, and we did. To me, that's the perfect church. Don't you agree? Paul wasn't in it for the money. He dearly loved those he was ministering to. And it's the same when we want to build prophetic community. We make time for one another. We think the best of each other. We have less rules and more relationship. And, you know, people, maybe you're like this. I'm certainly like this. People want to be seen and they want to be heard. They want to be a part of you. So I want to say, you are a part of us. We care about you as people. We make time for you to hear your stories, to hear what God's doing in your life. I love the NIV version of 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 8. The first part says, being affectionately desirous of you. One of the commentaries I read said this. It said, that language was used as it was expressive of the strongest affection and attachment. So beautiful. Our time for people, you might be running a life group here, but even in your workplace, you know, just taking those little moments to just listen to people, to hear their stories, you'd be amazed at how that fosters the prophetic in your life. Because you just, I don't know, it might just be simply because it's the heart of Jesus. We're just being Jesus to people. And then he just starts to reveal things to us. And, you know, what happens is this when we do that. The Word of God, which has changed you, which lives within you, becomes a real life example of the prophetic voice of the Lord. The Word has a voice. The Word doesn't just become written on a page, but it becomes tangible. It becomes a sound, a real life example. You know, I'm having a very quick memory of being in the UK last year. We went and did a ministry trip there. And this is the honest truth. The Lord said, go. We didn't have any invitations when we booked those tickets. We just went, if the Lord says go, we're just going to go. So we saved up. We bought these tickets to go and minister in the UK. The Lord said to me, I wish people would go on assignment rather than invitation. And so we're like, we're going to start living like this. So we're just like, we're going on this assignment. And when we were there, God TV was such, God is awesome. They were like, will you come? We'd love you to come and be on part of our TV shows for the UK. And so we drove miles to get there, right? It was like 3 hours or something to get to God TV studios. And it was such an honour to be able to share a little bit on the prophetic on television, right? But they were like 10-minute slots over 2 shows. In between the filmings, I was talking to the host, and she started to tell me some things about her life, and I didn't even know I was being prophetic, right? I just start listening to her, doing this thing, making time, and I say something and she bursts into tears. And I'm like, what's going on here? Like, I don't know. And she's like, I didn't expect you to say that. And then the Lord starts laughing and he's like, you're being prophetic and you didn't even realise. So, because in the conversation I was saying things. Then for the next hour, I ministered to her, we prayed together, we talked. And as we were leaving, I said to Ted, if that's the only reason we came to the UK, that was the best. And it surprised me. But, you know, I could have just been thinking about, wow, television, wow, I'm going to be heard on TV. I just thought it wasn't even about that. Like, if that never even happened, just being there to talk to that girl was the best. Making time. Let people get close to you. Let people get close to you. People need the Word of God, but they also need to see how the Word works in your own life. You are a living testimony. Finally, number 7, you are the one that determines the atmosphere. I have a memory when I was about 10 years old and I was in a house and I didn't know that I had the gift of the prophetic on my life. And I remember hearing the doorbell ring and I couldn't see the person, but I heard a voice go, "Hi," and fear immediately rose on the inside of me. Like full on, I had a full on anxiety, like panic attack at 10 years old. Didn't know that's what it was at the time. And I remember thinking, what's going on? And in hindsight, have you ever had that happen where you've just had fear come up in you, you don't know why, and you can immediately go, it's me, I'm the problem. But actually, it's often because there is something going on in the atmosphere. So the Lord was showing me that person wasn't a safe person, but I didn't know that at the time, right? And so sometimes we can walk into atmospheres and we can feel overwhelmed and we can submit to that atmosphere. We can, because you think it's you. But actually, prophetic living, prophetic community, growing in the prophetic is going, actually, I am the one that changes the atmosphere, not the way, other way around. Because the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. Now, this takes practice because it can be overwhelming, certain atmospheres. If you're a sensory person, a lot of prophetic people are. I certainly am. I feel everything. But you can actually change the atmosphere simply by standing in that authority that the Lord has given you. And so as we build prophetic community, think about that. What is on the inside of you can affect what is happening on the outside. There's times when I've been in services before, in churches all around the world, and I've gone, something's not right. I can feel something's off or it's a bit flat. And I don't succumb to that. I don't go, oh, what are we going to do? I go, actually, I'm here, and because I'm here, it's going to change because the Holy Spirit is on the inside of me. I love what Dan McCullum says. He's a friend of ours, amazing prophet, prophetic voice. True prophets create prophetic atmospheres where it's easy for others to prophesy. And, you know, that's even in the Bible. I don't know if you know the story of Saul in 1 Samuel 19, verse 20. So he's ready to kill David, doesn't like the anointing or the call on David's life. And so he sends men to go and kill David. And look what happens. So they go to capture him, but they see this group of prophets coming down. And what are these prophets doing? Company of prophets, prophetic community. They're prophesying. With Samuel standing there as their leader, the Spirit of God comes on Saul's men, who are not prophets, and they also prophesied. What? Crazy, right? Now think about this, right? Saul, who's ready to go against the Lord and kill David, goes and sends more men. What happens? They prophesy too. Then Saul sends men a third time. They also prophesy. Do you see what I'm getting at here? When the atmosphere is in you, it changes the atmosphere around you to the point where Saul eventually goes and he starts to prophesy as well. And the last part of that chapter in verse 24, it actually says the people started to go, is Saul a prophet as well now? I'm so confused. No, he wasn't, but when he was in the atmosphere of the prophetic, he caught it. And I believe the same thing can happen here. If you feel like you're not prophetic, just hang around for a while. Like right now, I feel like the spirit of prophecy is hanging in here. And it is there. It's like fruit that you can just pick because we're in an atmosphere where there's prophets in the room. And so take advantage of that because you grow in the prophetic yourself as you start to do that. And so I want to encourage you, let's go through those seven and then we're actually going to try it before we end. Number one, not everyone is a prophet, but everyone can prophesy. Two, keep your eyes open. Three, take a risk. Four, we don't make people jump through hoops. Five, be convergent, not divergent. Six, make time. And seven, you are the one who determines the atmosphere. I want you to stand with me right now. And firstly, I want to prophesy over you. I break off the fear of man that has stopped you from ever releasing your voice. That time when somebody told you that you didn't have something important to share or important to say, or maybe you've never just been given the opportunity to release what's on your heart. Maybe there's been things that have happened in your life and you've just shut it down. I break that off you in the name of Jesus. And I say, today is a new day where the voice of the Lord will be released through you in greater measure in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.